And when I was a kid, after storms, I'd go outside. Our yard was kind of low right there where we lived at the time, and water would stand. It was clear water, and I'd go out there and puddle around in that water, and I just kept expecting a flute to play, you know, and see the little skunks and the little birds all back. And, you know, life was so great back then, and I thought it was just this way all the time. I was young enough that everything was a new discovery. I think that's why being young is so great, is just like, ooh, an ant! Ooh, a dead ant! You know, wow, this is just, and everything, you know, you could just, I could just go on, just standing there looking at things, just, you know, like an orange dahlia that everybody's got, and most people consider them weeds. I remember sitting there looking at them, well, squatting actually when I was a kid, and just looking at it, going, that is so orange. Why is that orange? You know, and just thinking deep and awesome thoughts. Oh, there's an ant. There's another dead ant. You know, and you just, and I thought that's the way life was supposed to be at all times. And I grew up, and by the way, I looked this up, Norman Vincent Peale had written his book, The Power of Positive Thinking, published in 1952. It was on the charts for 182 weeks as the nation's bestseller. And so by the time it got off the charts, I was like 3 years old, going on four, something like that. Copies were around. People were still talking about it, you know, power of positive thinking and all this good stuff. And it, you know, I was just raised with this as a thing that you were supposed to be doing, is having those positive thoughts. And as I grew up, it just, ants no longer was like, oh, there's an ant. You know, those orange daylilies was not something I just sat there and looked at and went, wow, that is so neat. And life was not the way that I thought it was supposed to be. I don't know about you, but I really got disappointed with some aspects of life. It just, and there was all these people going, oh, hold a positive thought. You know, and I could just hold that, oh, I could just think positive thoughts, and I tried so hard, and just, I'll be thinking good thoughts for you, and I'm going, I don't want you to think good thoughts, I want you to do something for me. You know, like this, this, or this. But I did all the things that I had been instructed to do, and it just didn't work. You know, I held them thoughts, and I worked on that. And then they come out with them little yellow smiley faces. Weren't those things annoying? I mean, it's great the first 300 times you saw them, but then they started painting the water towers, and everybody had stickers, and I just, the only reason it's okay now is Walmart's put stupid little hats on them, like cowboy hats and Santa Claus hats, and you know, oh, that's not so bad, at least it. And then that guy came along and started singing that song and whistling, I whistled so good last time you guys applauded. And they'd say, don't worry, be happy. It was great. And then it got annoying. And things just kept, you know, and just no matter how hard you strive for that kind of stuff, just like you, sands through an hourglass, and so are the days of our lives. And you're just like, you know, the guy that wrote and sang that song committed suicide like a year or two later? Yeah. At least that's what they say on the internet. But all of that happiness and all those good thoughts and all that positive thing, Jesus said, if you're going to build a house, make sure you build it on bedrock and not on sand. And I came to the conclusion one day that all of my positive thoughts and all of that, just grin and bear it, or hang in there, baby. You know, and I just tried so hard, and I was doing everything that the people were telling me to, and yet Jesus said, build your house on bedrock. So when the storms of life come against it, it will stand. And it's not just the storms, it's the torment of life. It just torment and torment. I come up with a new word, storment. It's just all that together, and it just, you know, and it just grinds you down, and you, am I just missing the mark, or am I the only one that went through this kind of stuff? But let me share with you what the Scripture says, Jeremiah 32, verse 40, if I can find it. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear or respect me or reverence me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land and with all my heart and soul. Granted, this promise is specifically to the nation of Israel, but remember that the church had not been revealed yet. It was still a secret held by God, and it was talked about that these prophets were prophesying things, and they did not understand it. They knew there was something up, but they didn't understand it. And he says in that verse 40, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. You come under that category of with them. You are one of them that he makes this everlasting category or contract covenant with. And listen to what he says. I will never stop doing good to them. Now I have something to smile about. Now I have something to stand upon. And when those stormations of life come against me, it's not easy, but I do know that I have something extremely solid to stand on. I don't just have to grin and bear it. I don't just have to put on that smiley little face. I don't just have to hold in positive thoughts. I have something that is absolute truth. Absolute truth. God will not stop doing good to me. He will not stop doing good to me. And it goes on, it says, I will rejoice. This is God talking. I will rejoice in doing them good. It tickles God pink every time he does something good for you. That's what it says. Does God lie? God does not lie. God tells the truth. He said the people who are in this covenant, he has nothing but good intentions for them, and he will continually do them good. You can expect that. Don't listen to the world out there and don't and say, well, I don't feel happy. I don't feel good. Well, on those feelings, stand there and say, this is the word of God, and my God spoke things into existence. He said, let there be worlds, let there be planets, let there be rocks, let there be sun, let there be moon, and when he spoke, it was so. When he said, those people under that new covenant, I will do them nothing but good, I will do them good continually, and I'll be happy doing that good to them, he meant just exactly that. Don't listen to the world. Don't let the world interpret your scriptures to you. Don't let the world tell you, well, that's not what he meant. That's what he meant. Our God is able to communicate. He could communicate so well that he said, let there be asteroids, and there were asteroids. Let there be comets, there are comets. Let there be beasts of the field, and there were beasts of the field. Our God, when he speaks, he means what he says, and he says, the people of the new covenant, I intend to continually do them good, and it makes me happy to do those people good. Not everybody in the world. That's not a promise to everybody on the face of this earth, but to those people who are in that new covenant relationship, he intends, he promises, he makes a statement, he calls it into existence, that he will do you good. Ought to quit there, but you know me, I ain't going to do it. He spoke that, and therefore that is truth. That is the rock that you can stand on. That is solid. That gives you something to smile about. I ran into a friend, I was with somebody else, and that person was talking about God and all this stuff. He got right with the Lord. And I said, man, after he left, I said, boy, it was good to see him. I hadn't seen him in quite a while, you know. This is like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe a little longer. Maybe a little longer than that even. And the person that was with me said, just irritates me, that person did. I said, why would they irritate you? Well, see, they got right with God. But the person said, he had that smile on his face like he knew something and I didn't. just like you used to have, and I used to just want to knock you silly because you walked around smiling like you knew something and I didn't. I wasn't shocked at what he was saying. I was shocked that he was saying I didn't have that smile anymore. What happened to that smile? Because to tell the truth, I did know something that he didn't. I knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he had forgiven me of all my sins, and he had rose from the dead, and he had conquered death, and he had put me in that new covenant relationship, and I was one of those people that talks about in the Bible that had got caught up and sowed into the brambles and worrying about the cares of this life, and I was no longer walking around with that, I know something you don't know, look. Man, what's happened to me? And it's taken a long time. It's still a work in progress. But then I understood when I first started off, God just loved me. He just did good things for me. I wasn't trying to impress him or anybody else. I was just there going, wow, you are so great. You are so awesome. And I didn't listen to what the world said, and I didn't let the Bible or the people of this world interpret my scripture. I just believed what it said. Let me read to you. Why does this scripture so resonate with us? Second Timothy 3:16. It's one we all know. Can you tell I'm using a different Bible? All scripture is inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuke, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word inspired comes out of a Latin word, inspired. Oh, that's an I, not an E. All scripture is inspired. This is a Latin word, in. You know what it means? It means in. This is the word inspired. You look it up, you'll find out that the root of it means breathed. It means God breathed into those prophets his word. God breathed into those prophets exactly what he wanted to them to understand. God breathed in the word that he wanted related to us. And here it is. Now we've got this scripture is telling us that God breathed this into us. This is one reason we should look up words and understand it. God breathed this into us. Let me explain to you something or show you something that I think is just awesome. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We have, and the scripture says, let the first rules of hermeneutics, let the first mention set a standard that we can use throughout all of Scripture. We have God here breathing life into man. His breath is going into Adam as he's created him. By the way, this is just an aside. I think it's interesting. Adam, A-D-A-M, is what God named the guy. It comes from a Hebrew root word, Adamah. And this just means dirt. Adam was named after dirt because he was created from the dust of the earth. So Adam's name comes from the word dirt. So when somebody calls you a dirt bag, they're only calling the truth. You dirt bag. Yes. But the difference between us, we weren't made from clods, by the way. We were, so don't let anybody call you a clod. You clod. That, you can call me a dirt bag, but don't call me a clod. We were made from the dust, but what makes us different is that God breathed into us life. God breathed into us inspiration. Isn't that the way it's interpreted in the New Testament? God breathed. That's why it's called the Word of Life. Saying it over again to me, the wonderful words of life. That's why it's called the words of life, because when he breathed into us that breath, it gave us life. And when he breathes out these scriptures and puts them in the minds of the prophets and the apostles and the people that write them down, they are life itself. We need to understand that this word of God is life. We resonate with that because when we were originally created, we had that breath, that same breath came into us. We need to do this. Breathe deeply of the Word of God. And the reason it doesn't work with the other people is just like fish have gills, Christians have the Holy Spirit, which enables us to take in the spiritual side of that Word of life, breathe it into our life, get infused with the Spirit of God, get infused with the life of God through the Spirit of God, is how it should be said. Get infused with that, be inspired by that, have this connection with that, and that is something that is totally unique to man. When it says right before this, this is an account, or this is the generations of the heavens and the earth, they're saying this is the history of the heavens and the earth, and God called everything into existence. We know that from the first chapter. But what makes this so unique is this is the only, we are the only creation of God that He formed Himself and didn't just speak into existence. And then we are the only creation of God that He blew His breath into. He did not do this to angels. He did not do this to Satan. He did not do this to the birds and the fowl of the air and the beast of the field. We are totally unique in that respect. We can relate to God in a way that no other being can relate to Him. He breathe that life into us, and this is His word that He breathes it out to the prophets, and this is something we're supposed to be breathing in. This is something that we're supposed to have inspiration. We have inspiration, and if you look up the word inspiration, even in an English dictionary, it means to have a thought, an idea, or an ability happen to a person in such a way that it seems as though it was given to them from outside their own being. Is that awesome? We can be inspired. Satan cannot be inspired. The angels, great and as powerful as they are never inspired. Have you ever read of where Satan did anything creatively on his own, came up with an idea? Can you find a place where he built a city, built a building, or anything else? He can't be creative. It says whenever you get into the Tower of Babel back here, God says, let's go down and see what man's up to. Oh, look, they're building a tower, and anything they can think of and they put their mind to, they will be able to perform it. That's because they have the ability to be inspired, to be creative, to do and approach things from different angles that they had never, that the devil and other people, or the devil and angels and other created beings don't have the ability to do. No wonder that guy hates us. He was number two in the hierarchy, God and then him, and then here comes these things, these dirt bags. God breathes into them and says, I give you not only inspiration, I give you the ability to create. He can understand, he can know, he can grasp, he can put two and two together, but he can't create. He has to get some person to create something for him. He's always relying on humans. But and you study what Satan does. He always mimics God. Never an original thought. He just mimics God because he doesn't, God did not endow him with the ability to create. God called things into existence. And then he breathed into us particularly. He didn't just call us and say, let there be man. He said, here's man. This being is different. This being is different. He has the ability to be inspired. He has something that I have, the ability to create. Folks, we're different. And what makes us even more different than the rest of the world, and I'm talking about Americans, is because us Americans, our roots go back mainly to Protestant Christianity. And I know that sounds egotistical, and I'm not, you take any Protestant from the Lutherans right on down to way out there, whatever you want, as long as they're Protestant Christianity people who are trying to live, understand the Spirit of, or the Bible, they are imbibing and breathing in this, and they're understanding things, and maybe they don't even understand it, but they're still breathing in the Word of God. And America, you can look it up and find out that the Americans have more creativeness than any other nation on the face of the earth. We patent more new ideas. The Japanese are tremendous. They're smart, but mainly what they have done over the years is take our ideas and make them smaller, make them faster, make them more compact, make them flashier. I'm not saying that these people are totally unable to come up with an original idea, but the reason that America is so creative is because we were founded upon, and for hundreds of years we breathed in and out this word of God, being inspired by what he said. And it says you have the potential to do anything that you put your mind to. One of the most inspirational things that happened in my lifetime was when John F. Kennedy says, "I think we ought to put a man on the moon in the next 10 years. I remember people saying, "Oh, you can't do that." And I'm going, yeah, put a man on the moon. We didn't know how to put a man on the moon, but we were inspired. And I remember sitting there watching that television show that night when he got on the moon and was treading around. Now they're talking about putting a man back up on the moon again. They're talking about putting people on Mars. But that inspiration that Americans had, we were all for that. Even if we did not contribute other than our tax dollars, which, and I was young then, I didn't even contribute that, but we contributed our belief, our support, our agreement, saying, yeah, it can be done. And when we, and the Bible says that two or more people are gathered in his name, we can ask and achieve anything. We might not get it done within our lifetime, but if we set that goal and can inspire and say, this is something that we think should be done, and people say, yeah, and they breathe that inspiration in, it can be done. There's people who have done this and used it for evil. Hitler and his group and some of the Young Turks of Turkey before he got to doing the concentration camp, they came up with the idea, they did it. Like I said, evil actually just kind of repeats itself. You can trace the pattern of evil from Pol Pot in Cambodia. He patterns his stuff after Hitler. Hitler patterned his stuff after the Young Turks, the Ottoman Empire. And it just goes, you can just trace it right back. Satan does not have an original thought. He just keeps using the same old thing over and over and over and recycling it. And it's Christians who have the ability to open up and say, our God gave us permission to be creative and to do things that most people think is impossible. Watch what can be done. It is within our very nature. From the get-go, that original dirtbag had the ability to do something that Satan himself could not do. Come up with original thought. How does this tie into Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah, remember, God said, I promise that I will do them nothing but good. I have the intent on doing them good continually. Now he says, I want you to work with me. I want you to be the ones to call this stuff into existence by saying, I believe God. He believed when he created the heavens and the earth, and now he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. Do you believe me? If you believe me, when you believe me, when you trust in my grace, you will see the manifestation of this goodness that I will continually do for you coming your way. Don't believe what your circumstances always say. You are a Christian. You are under the new covenant. You're not under an old covenant. You're not outside God's grace. You're right in the middle of God's grace. And he said, I will do good for you. He does not lie. Breathe that thought in. And that's what he means. He will do good, and it makes him happy to do us good. Is that awesome? We're going to take the Lord's Supper. And this is a contractual meal. That's what he said. This is the blood. This is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood. He's saying this is the promises I make. We're going to seal it with this feast right here. This represents the fact that it's going to be a blood covenant. I'm going to write all these promises down, and I'm going to pay for it with my own suffering, with my own blood. I'm making promises to you. If you accept those, avail yourself to the opportunities of this new covenant, God will do you good. Promised. Sealed. Spoken. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And God said, I will do them good. One translation says, I will do them continually good. And we're to be there going, thank you. I appreciate that. So now I can walk around with that annoying little smile. Because I know, no matter what my circumstances, there is good on my horizon. And the only thing coming my way is going to be good. There will be bad things happen to me, but it's bad things happening to me. It's not God doing these bad things to me. It's good things are coming my way from Him. Anything else is not from Him because I am a child of that new covenant. We don't have to understand how it works, but we can know it does work and stand there and say, God is good. I have become one of them annoying people. How you doing, Doyle? I'm wonderful. How you doing, Doyle? I'm great. I'm grand. I'm peachy. And people are saying, I'm so tired of hearing you say that. I'm trying to come up with something new to say. A new word I'm going to start saying. S-O-B-G. Smiled on by God. How's that sound? How are you, Doyle? I'm smiled on. I'm being smiled upon. Because God said so. God said so. Heck with the circumstances. God said so. And He does not lie.